Again, for those of you who have just joined us, I'd like to welcome you to today's Research to Practice webinar hosted by the SPRC Training Institute. The title of this webinar is Sources of Strength, Preventing Suicide Among High School Students Through Peer Leadership and Adult Mentoring. At this moment, we have just about 300 attendees on the webinar, and I'm delighted to report that over 600 people registered to participate today. So clearly, this is a topic of great interest to folks, and I'd like to welcome all of you. Before we start, I just wanted to mention that if you'd like more information about suicide prevention, please visit the SPRC website at www.sprc.org. There you can browse our online library, learn about evidence-based programs and best practices, take free online classes, and listen to previous Research to Practice webinars. So we're going to move on to our webinar at this point. And we are very fortunate today to have a number of fantastic presenters, and those include Mark Lemurray, Diane Rosado, Laura Rundell, and Peter Wyman. They'll be talking about the Sources of Strength program, which uses a peer-to-peer approach to suicide prevention in conjunction with adult mentoring. First, we're going to hear from Mark Lemurray and Diane Rosado. I'm going to introduce them to you now, and then we'll start their presentations. Mark Lemurray is the founder and director of Sources of Strength and has been working with youth and young adults for over 35 years. He's worked with numerous regional and national groups on issues related to suicide, bullying, mentoring, violence, and crisis intervention, and is most known for his strengths-based approach that develops local youth and adult leaders in very diverse groups and settings. Sources of Strength was added to the AFSP and SPRC Best Practices Registry in 2008, and was just included in the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices, otherwise known as NREP, which is the nation's highest level of prevention programs. Diane Rosado was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and now lives in Gwinnett County in Georgia. She was initially trained as a Sources of Strength peer leader during her junior year in high school, and is currently part of a peer leader group called HEROES at the Clinic of Education, Treatment, and Prevention of Addiction, or CETPA. She will be starting her sophomore year at Georgia Gwinnett College and with plans to major in education and biology. She recently was a CETPA delegate at the Southeast Emmy Awards in Atlanta, where CETPA had received two Emmys for videos targeting substance abuse and suicide prevention among Latino youth. Tiffany, if you could please unmute Mark and Diane's lines, we'll get started with the presentations.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark. And it's good to be here today, from Sources of Strength. Our first slide here is just giving a little bit of history about Sources of Strength. And we actually grew out of kind of a project in the Northern Plains back in the late 1990s, 1998, I think, is when we first started working. And it was really in partnership with some rural and tribal communities. Most of the communities we worked in, our state had, in North Dakota, actually had double the fatality rates as a lot of the nation for youth and young adults, and a lot of our tribal communities certainly sometimes double to six times the fatality rates. And so one of the things that we were doing, we definitely mental health shortage areas, and we were really looking at kind of some holistic models that both used mental health services, but also looked at a lot of village supports and really using the power of peer leaders to spread some messages. And we ended up using this statewide. We're beginning to expand. And in 2005, we received kind of a National Public Health Award from American Public Health Association, or Epidemiology Group. And then we were fortunate enough to be able to partner with Dr. Wyman's on, Peter's on going to be presenting today, but began in 2006 with him and Hendrix Brown out of the University of Miami. And we were able to start an initial randomized trial in Georgia, New York, North Dakota. 2008 and 2009 ended up on the SBRC best practice registry, and then this last year have ended up on NREP. And, you know, one of the things in research to practice, this is really kind of a grassroots program that was fortunate enough to connect up. And so we're kind of learned from both directions, from our grassroots partners all over the country now with a lot of different groups and different cultures and experiences, and as well as from kind of research from some of the randomized trial we're involved with. Our basic process is when we're working in a school or community is really kind of first being able to get administration buy-in. We're a very, you know, comprehensive program. We really see it kind of building, the startup process being about a three-year process as it builds from year to year. And the second thing we always want to do is make sure we've got basic protocol in place for handling suicidal youth. And, you know, you may be surprised, but a lot of places, you know, still don't. They maybe have tornado, they have school shooting protocol, things like that, but they really don't have standard protocol for handling suicidal youth. So we like to make sure that that's in place before, and we have some real simple protocol templates and help out either with schools or community groups or even faith-based groups, things like that, if they're needing help with that. The third thing we try to do is really identify and train key adult advisors or coordinators, and these are the adults that are going to be mentoring and working fairly long-term with the peer leader group. And so we do about 4 to 6 hours of initial training with them. And then really the fourth one is begin recruiting, training a diverse group of peer leaders. And by diversity, you know, if we're in a school setting, we're in a community group, we really want to try to have youth that represent a lot of different cliques and groups, and not just necessarily all the standard kind of student council members, the straight A students, the folks that are picked for all the other leadership stuff, but we really want youth that are kind of sometimes have never been picked before, and we want some of those core leaders, obviously, that are can get things done, but we also want to be able to spread out into different groups. And so what we do is then train them. Usually our high school training, our initial training is about 4 hours in length. For middle school students, that's about 2.5 hours in length. But it really is to kind of prepare them as a peer leader team to go out and start doing some, what we call some action steps or some messaging or cultural change activities, and usually things that will kind of have impact amongst their peer culture. And so they're doing a whole variety of different activities from posters with their faces on them going into classrooms. They may be doing a Facebook campaign. They may put on a talent show that's strength-based. Each community is a little different in terms of what they do. But they spread these series of messaging out throughout their school and community. And then the last thing we do each year is we definitely want to evaluate how the year's gone. And depending, that may be a real formal evaluation. Sometimes that's as simple as sitting down and talking about what were the best activities, what kind of impact did we have, and what's our expansion plans for the next year? And are there individual youth? Are there cliques that we didn't get? Are there some adult advisors that would be really great to have involved? And so we really kind of pause in the middle of each year and look at expansion and begin to look at kind of moving through those. So, and the sources of strength circle that you see in front of you now is kind of our holistic model. It's a simple wheel. And the way we use that is, you know, as you're going around there, family support's obvious. But when we train sometimes groups of youth, we've had kids that are in foster care. And so we'll talk about, not only the family support and that they may have as natural family, but they may also have other people that have stepped in as family support for them. Or maybe the family that they're living in is pretty rough right now with the parents, you know, struggling with drug addictions or things like that. And so they'll name a lot of times a relative or somebody that they have in their life that is, you know, really provides the best. And so that might be a sister, an auntie, a grandfather, somebody like that. And then having positive friends seems to be really powerful. Having mentors in your life, role models, someone that's a bit older, all kinds of healthy activities. Having generosity actually is a very powerful strength. And that sense that, you know, when you go out and you help somebody else out, a lot of times all of us walk away from that and we feel like we've gotten more out of that than we've given. And especially sometimes when we have groups that have been really had trauma, and sometimes a lot of our survivor families will talk about, you know, one of the healing things that they went through was they began reaching out and maybe helping some other people. Spirituality, a lot of different traditions and the ways that's expressed, but over and over again we hear, you know, kind of different ways of that being really pretty powerful and healing. Obviously having medical access, and for some individuals, you know, access to the right medications can really be pretty significant. And then mental health access is another one. And so when we talk about this, there's a variety of things we do with this wheel, but these are eight strengths that we really focus on. And what we're really trying to do is talk about that, you know, more is better than one. And so that when we're going through life, that none of one of the things we try to norm in sources of strength is that when we're going through life, none of us are going to make it without going through some tough things. And there are tough times in life as you go through. And these are the strengths that we draw from when we're going through both ups and downs in life. And so if we're going through something really difficult, it doesn't mean that it won't be painful. But if we can tap into more of these strengths in our life, that may be, we usually come through that in a healthier, more healing way. And so a lot of the messages that our peer leaders are using is, one, they're telling their stories out of their own life. And so that translates really well culturally. As we're drawing those stories out, they can talk about these different strengths. And here's what it looks like in my family, in my neighborhood where I live, in my village. And they can really kind of talk about those things. But as they're doing messaging out there, they're also really able to kind of make that come alive in the real world as they're sharing about different strengths that we tap into. And so a few different ways that we use the wheel is, a lot of times we find it really important to let people talk about, you know, what are the strengths that are most powerful for them right now, but also which one would you pick that you would want to strengthen in your life right now. So if you're looking at the wheel, you know, as we're talking about that, you may have one in particular that you'd like to see strengthened. And so we may be talking with them about which one to strengthen, but also being able to name and identify those different kinds of strengths. When it comes to suicide prevention, our kind of one of the things we would say is, no one piece of this pie is enough to keep somebody suicidal safe. So if you got a friend that's suicidal, you're the positive friend. You're going, oh, I'm the only one they trust. I'm going to keep them safe all by myself. What we would say is, your positive friendship is important. But what we want to do is, we want to get several of these strengths around them. So as a positive friend, you can also connect them and get some of these other strengths, help them get connected with that. We would say the same thing if we're talking to a parent group. And if we're training a group of doctors, the same thing. So somebody comes in to see you, they're suicidal, you're giving them medication, that can be really helpful. But if that's all you're doing, that can be a dangerous way to practice medicine. You want to connect several of these other strengths as well. So for training pastors, spiritual leaders, the same thing, prayer, faith, those types of things can be really powerful, but also we want to connect some of those others. And so the model we're pushing, again, would be multiple strengths. We'd say if somebody's suicidal, we want to start with medical, mental health support, but we don't want to stop there because a lot, you know, we want to connect them up with some of these other types of strength as they would go through there. The next slide that you've got is just a real simple little social network. Can you go back one slide? I seem to pop through. Thank you. It's just a real simple little social network. And what it is I believe, a fifth grade class, and they're asked to name their five closest friends. And so the boys are on the right side of your screen and the girls are on the left. Seem like a typical fifth grade classroom, right? And so what we're doing in Sources of Strength is there's a couple things. We're really using the power of social networks to get into all kinds of different cliques and groups, all the different corners of a school and a community, to really try to create some social change, some cultural change about help seeking, about being able to kind of build strengths in your life. And our goal is hopefully before they become suicidal, but even if they're not. So one of the things, you have bridge people that kind of will reach between different cliques, and they're really critical and important to have as peer leaders. And a lot of times that's the group that will change the first. And we have folks on the outside, those fringe folks, the peripherals on the outside. And when we see rapid change throughout the system, you see those central members are folks that a lot of people are naming as friends. And they usually are, central members are a little slower to change, but if we have them in as a peer group, once they do kind of accept kind of some of the messaging or things like that with Source of Strength, because of the vast amount of connections they have, people that look to them, they can turn and really kind of help spread that. And so one of the things, as we're looking at, you know, we try to get attitude change, but especially if we're trying to get behavioral change happening, we believe that we've got to get within kind of the you know, the seven closest friends and try to get some changes happening there. Some core components. A big thing that we're about is hope, help, strength messaging, and as opposed to trauma, shock stories. We believe that, especially dealing with issues like bullying and suicide and a variety of things like that, shock and trauma stories, especially for our most vulnerable youth, although it's not intended that way, it can actually make them feel more hopeless. So we're really about hope, help, strength messaging, and really kind of trying to promote those. We talk with our peer leaders about that. Again, the second one, diversity of peer leaders, is really critical to spread, to get that kind of social change that we're going for. Third one is, we really believe about bringing peer leaders and adult supports together. That, we peer leaders can do things as presenters, as reaching into their groups. They can provide a message that as adults we can't present. And they can provide that in a way that can really resonate with young people. But also, without adult support, that probably is going to lack some power. And it's when we bring those two groups together, when we bring peer leaders, we bring those adult supports together, that seems to be where we're getting the really powerful piece. And then interactive, our training is extremely interactive. We don't use PowerPoints and things like that, but very personalized messaging, and I'm sure Peter will talk about that a little bit later. And the whole process, we do a lot of naming, so having students name who their trusted adults might be and putting those on Post-it notes, creating hallway displays, that whole naming process we find is pretty powerful. And so no matter what school they're in, no matter what community or village, we find that that really kind of emphasizes some strength. And just a real simple little diagram here, you know, using peer leaders. When I think of mentors, I think of very, very high level of peer leadership. They got to be responsible, kind of have their act together if they're going to be matched up with a young person. We know that with mentoring, they have to show up every week. You know, we need that relationship to go for more than a year to have really significant impact. So those would be kind of the cream of the crop you know, peer leaders that would be involved in mentoring. Then we have a lot of helpers, mediators type things that would be in more in the middle. We may ask them to sign some, you know, kind of behavioral things and stuff like that. Source of strength is a little bit more broad-based, and so we're really trying to draw peer leaders from the population. We may have some of our more edgy students in there that maybe don't necessarily have their act all together right at that time, but we're drawing from a kind of a whole variety of groups and clusters with that. And you know, we really do see it as a multi-year process. And typically in year one, you know, they're doing a series of messaging, and the sense is that peer leaders are kind of getting their feet wet. Year two, often you get more diversity of peer leaders. They start getting more and more creative with the concept. And what we're seeing in year three a lot of times is we're starting to get broader spread. Really, the peer leaders get pretty sophisticated at partnering with other student groups, kind of getting creative, and it really began doing some pretty significant saturation in campus and community messages. So that takes a little bit of time. And so just some of those messages may be presentations, video, posters, public service announcement, doing texting and Facebook messaging. Providing recognition events is really a significant critical part of using peer leaders, and there's just a variety. So if you go to sourcesofstrength.org, you'll see some more things. This next slide is just a wall of trust, and so those are all names that students have written down and have put on. You know, they've named adults. They all have their name and adults. And so we have some schools where 85%, 90% of the students have all written names of adults. And that seems to really have impact with students that may have suicide ideation and really break down some of those barriers for them reaching out and getting some help. And it's the sense of being aware of unintended harm. And again, I mentioned shock and trauma stories, but we're also very careful about how we use data. And we know that with binge drinking and some of those types of things. With suicide, though, we don't want to use data in a way with our public groups that may make it feel like everybody's suicidal. And so like that one every 18 seconds or a lot of those kinds of things, we would really kind of discourage that in our work with teens and young adults. I may use statistics when I'm going in with a policy group or a legislative group, but I probably would use a very different set of data that's much more positive social norms when we're doing something with our other groups. So, you know, the kind of how we talk about things can make a big difference with that. So at this point, let's turn it over to Diane. I'm really excited that she can be here with us today.
Hi, everybody. This is Diane. As Mark has said, I'm part of HEROES. And I'm part of HEROES at SETSA, and then SETSA is the Clinic of Education and Treatment Prevention Addiction. And we're basically a peer leadership group at SETSA. We go out and reach out to our community, raising awareness about the issues of addiction and of suicide and depression. Throughout this year and previous years, we have been working with Sources of Strength, trying to apply it to our own lives and to the lives of others. The group is about 15 students, but the picture is only shows five. In this picture, we are trying to share with our community the generosity that Sources of Strength focuses on. And also through other programs, we have...
Diane, I'm so sorry to interrupt. This is Gail. I was wondering if you could speak up a bit. It's hard to hear you over the phone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Can everybody hear me? Okay.
That sounds much better. Thank you.
Sorry. Okay, so I'm part of HEROES of SETSA Prevention, and we're basically a peer leadership group at SETSA. We work with different people in our community, raising awareness about addiction and suicide problems that is facing the Latino community mostly. And most of the people in our group are Latino students, some on their way to college, some in middle school, and some in high school. We try to focus on working with other students in high school and middle school, and sometimes elementary school. And we try to apply sources of strength to parts of our lives. For example, we are currently working at a summer camp teaching some of the students about sources of strength and how they should find a mentor in their life and how they should have positive friends and have a great family connection and also practice generosity and spirituality and other aspects of sources of strength. For our heroes, ourselves, we are... can we go to the next slide? On the next slide, it will show a picture of heroes at a food bank where we did a drive for a closed-in food drive. And then the next picture would be of the students at the summer camp. And then we're constantly trying to put sources of strength in our lives and put into the life of others. And I can personally say that sources of strength has helped me out a lot and has helped me help others. For example, in my senior year, probably a few months before graduating, one of my friends was feeling suicidal, and I was able to bring him to a counselor and be a positive friend and be there for him and show him different aspects or sources of strength and how there was a reason to live, and you know, there was people who did care for him. And so he did get help through the counselor, and he was later on put into treatment. So that helped him. And in Heroes, we also have been working by reaching our community by creating PSAs. Recently, we created Sources of Strength PSA, showing how a student goes from being very depressed, very down, and how different parts of sources of strength, spirituality, family support, positive friends, change her life to having a positive life, having a positive positive outcome in her life. And at the end, you see the student reaching out to somebody else, trying to help them and show them the different aspects of sources of strength and explaining how you still have a reason to live. Heroes also has created a PSA for alcohol addiction. We reached out, we focused on minors under 21 of how it's illegal to drink alcohol under the age of 21 and the dangers it can bring. And we worked with Univision, which is a Spanish TV broadcast here in Georgia. And we were able to win an Emmy for that. And we were able to win an Emmy with a lot of help and support from people here at SETPA. It was a real accomplishment, and it really encouraged everyone at Heroes to keep moving on and to keep encouraging others and reaching out to others about sources of strength and about the different pieces and also about alcohol prevention and the dangers that it brings. And that's it.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark and Diane. We have time to pause right now for a couple of questions, and I think what we'll do, there have been several questions that people have submitted that I think we're going to save for the more general Q&A at the end of all the presentations, just in the interest of time. But if right now you have a question, if there's something you're wondering about and would like to have something clarified that either Mark or Diane covered in their presentations, please use the Q&A box to submit your question or your comment, and we will take a couple of those, and then we will continue to move on. Okay, we've got one question that just came in that says, where were your PSAs shown?
Our PSAs were shown on Univision, which is the Spanish channel here in Gwinnett County and in Georgia. Also, we have them on YouTube on our SETSA page.
Excellent. So what we can do as well is we can get the URL if people are interested in seeing those PSAs and make that available so that that's something that people will be able to view. So there are a couple more questions that are coming in. Hang on one sec. They're scrolling a little bit faster than I'm able to read right now.
The one thing, too, is on sourcesofstrength.org, you should be able to find some of those PSAs as well as in the links to the YouTube links that Diane mentioned, as well as, you know, if you're looking at a video wanting to know some basic steps and some startup for Sources of Strength on the homepage, there's a video there that's about 12 minutes long that kind of talks about the program, may answer a few questions that you have.
Great. Thank you, Mark. So there are a couple of questions that I think could be answered fairly briefly, and then we're going to move on and hear from Laura Rundell. So the first is, how do you explain and maintain confidentiality within the program?
You know, the program essentially is, we talk about that in a training about, you know, if students are bringing things up that are personal while we're doing the training, there's things that we really, want to keep within that. And so we'll talk about that and confidentiality. My experience with peer groups is that's usually not a very big deal at all. They get it and usually handle that very well. Again, they're also the primary focus that they're doing is really going out and spreading kind of strength-based and some very positive hope, help, strength messages, things that really focus on what kind of strengths maybe help them as they were going through things in life and being able to focus on that. But we do address that. We find that peer leaders get that, and it's really, you know, hundreds of teams out there. We just rarely, that's an extremely rare situation that we'd have any trouble with that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then one more question before we move on to Laura, and that is somebody was wondering if the program has ever been adapted to be used among a college population, and if so, whether there are colleges who are currently using it.
Yeah, we have actually we're in the middle of working with quite a few colleges. We have you know, some community colleges around the country, some tribal colleges, you know, and some universities up to the size of about 15,000 students. So we could sure, if they want us to just send an email and would like more contact on that. We have a college curriculum. The way we organize in college settings is a little bit differently. And we're really also hoping, and maybe Peter will talk about that, you know, we're involved in a very large randomized trial. It's funded through NIMH on high school populations, but we're also hoping to be able to do something similar with college groups as well, because there's very little out there in terms of what is the most effective kind of suicide prevention type of things in college settings. So we're hoping to really kind of tackle that and take a look at what, and especially what kind of messaging types of things really resonate. But we do have quite a few that are actively going at this point. So.
Okay. Thanks, Mark, for answering those questions, and Diane as well. And I know we'll be hearing more from both of you later on. And right now, I'm pleased to introduce Laura Rundell. She's a health teacher from Elmira, New York, and for the past 4 years, she's been the Sources of Strength Adult Advisor at Elmira Free Academy High School, overseeing more than 120 peer leaders while participating in the National Research Project that Mark just described as one of the first 8 schools in New York State. Tiffany, if you could please unmute Laura's line.
Hi, this is Laura. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Thanks so much, Laura. You should be able to control the slides on your end.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to talk about the implementation process and how we were able to use this at Elmira Free Academy. And I don't think it's advancing, so if you could advance the slide for me. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about training day. Teachers nominate students they think would be good leaders. And Mark talked a little bit about how these might be edgy students and students who aren't always involved in everything. And these students attend a half-day training to learn about sources of strength. They meet all the other peer leaders. It's really a really neat process when they are nominated. From my end of things, I send out an email to all the student body, to all the teachers and staff, and they nominate about 5 students that they think would be really good for the program. And they might be students that they saw in class that they think would be good leaders that might just not be involved in anything. So a lot of times kids get this letter in the mail nominating them, and they get really excited, and they bring it back to me because I'm the contact person, and they're like, what's this all about? I'm really excited. Somebody thought I'd be a good leader, and it's quite an honor. And we get a lot of students from different social circles to join the group this way because they find this an honor. They come, like again, they said, they come from all different social circles in the school. And they spend time during this training day, this four-hour time span, playing many silly games. It helps create unforgettable experiences and this bond that's going to last throughout the year. I came from a school that had 800 in the student body. So to pull together 50 to 60 students who might not know each other, who haven't worked together before, might not even associate with each other at all in the hallways, to bring them together, it's a process to start out with to try to get all these kids to find some common bond, and this definitely helps all the games that are played and the way that Sources of Strength training is set up. Again, here's some more pictures. There's the getting to know each other shoe games. There's circle time. There's partner activities and teamwork, and within an hour, everybody seems to be the best of friends. And then they get down to business. Peer leaders get together in groups, and they think about all the sources of strength that they have around them. This is where they really begin to grasp the concept of what strengths are in their lives, going back to the wheel of spirituality and generosity and medical access and positive friends and activities. So they get together in groups of people that they're starting to get comfortable with and really relate to one another. This is what I use when I'm feeling down, and this is a way that I find strength when I'm going through a rough time. And you can see some different things that they put on this list here. And it helps the students realize how much they use these supports in their own lives without even thinking about it every single day, and especially during tough times. So it begins to really let the peer leaders who are in the training, who are about to go out into the student body to try to bring change about the school, to understand what these strengths are all about and how these they use these in their own lives. And then they get a little bit deeper. So after hearing examples from each other, peer leaders dive deeper, and they personalize how they've used one of these 8 sources of strength to get through a tough time. So it's a moment during training when they really take hold of that, the core mission of the messaging that we want to get out there with the big wheel and the spirituality, the generosity, the mentors, the family support, and they think about a time when they were going through something, and then they share it with the group at large. A story about a time when they really had to use one of these strengths in their own lives. So sharing these stories in front of a large group, both as a demonstration of what they've learned about sources of strength, but also as a practice of retelling their story, because later on they're going to take that into the school to share that, whether they're peer teaching or they're helping a friend that might be in need. So giving them a chance in front of this large group really helps them to get that message out and to start identifying their own personal story and how they use that in their lives. And, go back one. So together the groups generate lists of things they could do to teach others about sources of strength and reach as many of their peers as possible. So this is where they come together after they realize how these things have made a difference in their own lives. And they decide, well, wait a minute, we really want to share this message with the school at large. And they come up with huge ideas. They range from, let's have a blimp with the message of sources of strength to, you know, let's have a carnival or a school dance or ways that we can make this message come to life. And they really come up with some pretty neat things that they could do to immerse and saturate the school with the message of hope, health, and strength. And they get really excited about it. So they start planning with a purpose. And here's some pictures of them planning. And then they start presenting to the group at large. So they work again in small groups, getting intimate, creating that bond with each other so that they can come together throughout the year and work on all these projects. And the peer leaders take turns presenting all the creative ideas that they've had for the upcoming year, all the things that they would like to see implemented in the school. They're big ideas. Some of them, they have time to bounce this off one another, and the excitement grows, and it gets everyone really hopeful about all the positive activities and changes that they could create in their own school. And how do we reach 800 students? How do we take all of our different social circles that we're a part of and really get the message out there? And then at the end of training, peer leaders name a person in the school and a person outside of the school as a trusted adult, someone that they could go to if they were ever having a hard time or a friend was. So after the 3 hours of being together, we get in a large circle, and this is where Mark also mentioned a lot of naming happens. And having the students do this is such a powerful event. They're having a lot of fun. They're playing a lot of games. Then they get together in this large circle, and they one by one they go around and they say, you know what, if I was ever having a hard time, this is the person that I would go to. And if I was having a hard time at school, this is who I'd go to. If I was having a hard time outside of school, this is who I'd go to. And going around a group of like 50 teenagers and having them get on that emotional level is a very powerful experience. And then in that circle, and when the training day comes to an end, they think about people in their lives they could really rely on and they could go to if they ever needed it. So this just takes that the concept of sources of strength and everything that they've learned and how they use it in their own lives, they've personalized it to the point where they really want to go share this message with other people because now they know that it means something. They have an empathy about it. They want to share this with other people that might be going through a hard time. So keeping the momentum going, once the training is over and the new peer leaders need to fulfill required action steps, go back one. So they need to do some required action steps, and it all starts with the peer leaders going to that person that they named in that circle and telling them that they could always go to them. So these people are just random people in the school building. They could be a coach. They could be a principal, a teacher, a secretary, whoever it may be that has made a difference in one of these students' lives. Oftentimes, ahead of the student going, I'll send out a little message to a few of the teachers saying, by the way, you were named to someone today during training that a student said they could go to if they ever needed to talk to someone. And the response from the teachers it's very powerful for them just as much as it is for the student to know that they've made a difference. And it's also a way of helping to immerse the school a little bit more into the concept of sources of strength and get the teachers on board. Mark talked about the buy-in of the staff and administration, and this is one of the ways that this really helps. For the student to go to this person and say, hey, I took this training yesterday, and I just want you to know that when we talked about somebody that we could always go to if we were having a hard time, I named you as my person. And so that's one of the first action steps that they do. Next, we found it really neat to do something called Tag Your It. And students start spreading the message around the school by trying to reach as many people as they could with the Source of Strength message. And to do this within, like, the connections, and we saw that in one of the slides that Mark showed that there was all these different connections between these are my five friends and these are your five friends. Well, they would take these little cards and it would say, Tag Your It. We have a message to share with you. Go to such and such a room. I was the person whose room they would go to, and when they'd come to me, I'd say, oh, you got tagged, and I'd explain to them what Source of Strength was about. I'd have them name a trusted adult, and they would actually take that card and go back out into the student body and give it to another five of their friends. So this was a way to really spread the message within a really concentrated effort very quickly to get it out there. And this was naming trusted adults. From there, that was the first and second year. We continued on, and this is a big poster of many messaging and trusted adults that formed on this wheel that the students made that went out into the hallway as a big representation of how many trusted adults are out there. Again, you know, immersing the school with the hope, health, and strength message that we always have people to go to if we're having a hard time. And then there's peer teaching activities and how they come to life. So from those beginning posters that they had with all their creative ideas, They've been able to accomplish things like dances and bake sales and sports and volunteering. They did blankets and they delivered them to local hospitals as a form of generosity, because even as peer leaders, they want to grow and develop their own source of strength and their wheel around them. And so they worked on that. They had a carnival, and at the carnival they had different organizations from the community and hospitals come to show what medical access was around and what support structures were there if students ever needed them. So it combined many different things from the wheel to let students in school attend free activities, to see that they had mentors and healthy things that they could get involved in and positive friends. There was a Source of Strength Spirit Week where kids dress up and have exciting days of the week and concerts and carnivals and student staff games to show that everybody's working together and that there's just hope all around you and that there's strength there. So this is how we have implemented the program over the past few years, and it has been a blast. I think that's about it.
Thank you so much, Laura. We have a couple of minutes at this point to take your questions. If you do have any questions to clarify what Laura's covered in her presentation or something that we can answer briefly before we move on to Peter's presentation and then the final Q&A session. There was one question that did come in that I thought was something that you can answer right now, Laura, and that is, mm-hmm. whether there have been any unintended benefits or consequences that you would attribute to the program in your school?
I think a lot of benefits from it. I haven't seen any consequences from it. A lot of people coming together year after year, it's grown. First, it was a small group that grew the year after, to the point where we had a concert, and it was a school-wide concert, and the artist who came, he said, could all the peer leaders stand up at this point, because I really wanted to give them a round of applause, and the peer leaders stood up, and the whole student body was looking at them, and at the end of it, I had like three or four kids come up to me and say, how do I get to be a part of that group, and it's become more respected year after year after year. So I'd say that that's a huge benefit, the buy-in. At first, it's like, oh, please believe this is a great program, and let us come into your classes and do some peer teaching, and you know, come chaperone these events that we have, and be, you know, be on board with us. And it has become something so respected within the school that teachers wanted to be a part of it, and administration wanted to be a part of it, and that's been a really neat benefit to see.
That's fantastic. Have there been any consequences that you've noticed, any negative reactions or kind of lack of support?
I really have to say that there hasn't been. There's times when we send out, you know, is there any way we could come into your class to do some peer teaching during this period? Is there a way that you might be able to be a part of, you know, the Source of Strength Spirit Week, even if we have to pull students out of your class for an assembly? And I would think that those would be some negative consequences, you know, teachers like getting upset and stuff, and it hasn't been. So I'd say at this point I really haven't seen any negativity surrounding the program.
That's really great to hear. So there were two more questions that I think can be answered fairly quickly. The first is, how long Sources of Strength has been going on in your school?
Okay. We just completed our fourth year.
Okay. Excellent. And then someone asked, what was the Same Page project?
This year, the students thought that it would be really neat to incorporate a little bit more about bullying into it, but with some positive messaging as well, because we're always steering away from that negativity with the hope and the health and strength. So at the in October, it was National Bullying Awareness Month, and this is another thing that we got a lot of great support with administration, but we were able to create mentor groups, and once a week, these mentor groups met. So it was one teacher within the building with about 8 to 10 students, and they read the same book over the span of 3 months. And at the end of that, then we had a big Source of Strength assembly, and that's actually when we created the big poster this year with the wheel and the trusted adults, where everybody named their trusted adult in the school. So it was very neat because students were able to Source of Strength students were really able to get the message out there through these mentoring groups. So everybody in the school read the same book. So we called it the Same Page Project. And it was about bullying, but it had a really good message at the end. There was someone in it that committed suicide, but the messaging overall was positive, and it was a really neat way to incorporate Source of Strength as a student-wide, as a school-wide thing. So.
Got it. Thank you so much. And I'd like to just thank people who are submitting their questions and comments. We've heard from a range of people with a range of different questions and comments, and I'm hoping to get to as many of you as possible during the larger Q&A at the end. So just stay with us. I'm taking note of all of them at this point, and you know, we'll see how many we can get through. Okay, so next I would like to introduce Peter Wyman. We're going to hear from him last before we go into the Q&A session, and Peter is going to be talking about the evaluation process that was undertaken with Sources of Strength and that ultimately led to it now being included in NREP and being considered an evidence-based program. So Peter Wyman is professor of psychiatry and director of the School and Community-Based Prevention Laboratory at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry. Dr. Wyman has studied resilience in urban families, and his current work is focused on developing and evaluating community-based programs to promote healthy life trajectories for children and adolescents, particularly those underserved by traditional mental health services. He's currently leading a large study of Sources of Strength in 36 high schools funded by the National Institute of Mental Health, and before Mark had alluded to this study and participating in it. So at this point, Tiffany, if you could unmute Peter's phone line.
Hi, everyone. Really glad to be here today and participate in this. Let's see. So I should be able to move these slides forward, right? Here we go. Okay. A little bit of background. Our team's partnership began with Mark and with Source of Strength back in 2006. When we began a first evaluation of Sources of Strength in 6 high schools in Cobb County, Georgia. And at that time in Cobb County, for several years before that, we had been evaluating one of the more dominant strategies in suicide prevention, gatekeeper training, a training for staff to be able to learn more about risk factors and warning signs for suicide and how they might be able to really recognize and respond and be able to approach students to get help for those who might need it. And we found that gatekeeper training was not going to address the needs of many suicidal students. Many of the students that were at highest risk of suicide were, in fact, the least likely to be talking to adults. And many of them were likely to believe that their friends also wouldn't support help seeking and were not really supportive of positive kinds of coping. So we saw Sources of Strength. We were really fortunate enough to be introduced to Mark and went up and learned some more about the program and really saw it as an innovative and an important new approach that would harness the power of teens in partnership with adults to change and create positive a more positive culture in their school. And not just for students that are already at risk, but really for all students, really a school-wide kind of program. And this really meant a very different kind of approach to suicide prevention than what has been kind of leading the way so far. And one that's really moving prevention at an earlier phase in trying to create healthier students and systems so that there are fewer students are going to become hopefully in crisis and prevent new instances where suicide is a problem. Developing a program that focuses on the social systems that teens are embedded in is very congruent with adolescent development. Here are several examples on this slide of showing the power and sort of the sensitivity of teens to their environment, to their peer social world, to influences in a variety of systems, and some of them being negative, like bullying or having a suicidal peer, and others being very positive, like having positive peer connections. So, you know, compared to other times of life, teens are very sensitive to social environment and peer influences. So this is really a very congruent kind of approach for teen development. In other areas of prevention, the power of teen peer leaders has been pretty well recognized, one being the recognition that probably the biggest influence on whether a teenager uses safe sex practices is beliefs about what their friends would do. And prevention scientists have known that, and program developers, and so peers have really been involved for a while in other kinds of prevention, but so far not so much in suicide prevention. As we started our work with Sources of Strength and evaluating it, we also wanted to be mindful that there could be some ways, some unintended effects. Some work in substance abuse prevention had shown that it's important to be careful not to give substance-using teens more visibility and more kind of credibility by having them be peer leaders talking about prevention. So we wanted to be mindful and look for any evidence that that could be happening in Sources of Strength, and I'll be sharing a little bit more about that later. We have not found any evidence of that so far at all. Our first evaluation of Sources of Strength, which began back in 2006 in Georgia, New York, and actually Laura's school down in Elmira, New York, was one of the first schools. This study we were able to use a design where all the schools were trained in Sources of Strength, but we used a design that was rigorous in evaluating it by randomly assigning schools to either start training and begin their program either in the first or the second semester of the year. And essentially, the goal of this first study was really to say, okay, you know, this is a really novel and innovative idea to involve teens directly, but can they really change school environment and climate? Are they able to influence how their friends communicate with adults and how they approach kind of coping problems and coping norms in their school? We're able to evaluate by doing some pretty systematic surveys of students before any schools got trained, and then several months after the first group of schools were trained. We had about, as you can see, about 450 peer leaders, and we surveyed almost 3,000 students that were not peer leaders across those schools. So what did we find in this first study? We found some pretty dramatic and consistent evidence that being a peer leader was associated with some benefits in terms of norms for how those students were managing issues in their life, in particular in how connected they were to adults. These are what are called standardized effect sizes in terms of the impact of Sources of Strength training 4 to 5 months after the start in the first group of schools in this study. And these are about medium sized to large effect sizes, which indicates that Sources of Strength for peer leaders had a pretty large effect in increasing the number of adults they were connected to. And on average, peer leaders had about one more adult that they were connected to and communicating with after training and participation. And some of the biggest changes were actually found in students that entered that tended to be less connected at the beginning. This next slide shows for a measure of help-seeking acceptability. So how likely are you to get help? How likely are your friends and others around you to support your getting help if you needed it at school? And you can see in the Sources of Strength schools after training, in the post-training group, the red bar, a large increase compared to baseline. So this is in the peer leader group. In the larger schools, we found that peer leaders were about four times more likely to send a friend or refer a friend to an adult for help, which, as you heard about, is one of the core goals. Is we don't want teens to be handling problems with suicidal peers on their own. We want them to be engaging adults and helping to surround a teen with as many sources of support and sources of strength as possible. So the effect of referring peers that they were concerned about to adults was bigger in large schools, probably because there were just more opportunities to be aware over a 4 to 5 month period of friends that might need that kind of help. Probably more importantly, we found that 4 to 5 months of source of strength peer leader projects and messaging activities actually was able to change the norms for how students approached and for coping and help seeking within their school. And this next figure here shows in source of strength schools the increase in help seeking acceptability in students who are not peer leaders compared to control schools, and that was a significant increase over that period. And this next figure shows the average level in source of strength schools on a measure that assessed their knowing adults that they felt were capable of helping students who might need help and be suicidal in their peer group. And so also an increase over 4 to 5 months of messaging in students that weren't peer leaders. In looking at this particular measure, we also found that the largest gains in this awareness of helping adults was actually among students who had some thoughts about suicide in the last year. So that was, we thought, particularly important because it was really reaching students that were probably the most ones who most needed to be strengthened in that area. So after 4 to 5 months of messaging, we found and training that peer leaders could safely implement suicide prevention messaging, that their participation increased their norms for coping, reduced their own codes of silence about keeping secret concerns about peers, being more connected, and that their messaging and projects really led to changes in positive norms among students in the entire school. So far, Source of Strength is one of only a handful of high school-based programs that's shown a positive impact on these school-wide risk and protective processes using a rigorous design. And we currently have underway a large study that'll have about 36 high schools, where we're assessing a much longer-term impact, so over 2 years of Source of Strength training. What are the changes in students' connectedness and norms, and do those changes lead to fewer students becoming suicidal? So we're going to be able to assess that in the school in this new study that will have well over 12,000 students participating. I know our time is running a little short here, so I want to just turn quickly to a second area that's been really of interest to us and Maria Petrova, who's a coordinator on our team as well, and that is really trying to learn more about what is it about peer leader projects and messaging activities in their school that are really able to influence positively peers and other students around them. And we were particularly motivated to get started in this work when we saw a study that showed that a lot of typical PSAs that show a depressed face and essentially are really warning that if you're in trouble and you don't get, and you know, these are some of the bad consequences that can happen if you don't get help. Are really the most common kinds of PSAs, that this study found that, in fact, teens that are vulnerable, that are not doing well, that may be depressed or suicidal, may actually find that more discouraging and be less likely to see help as a way to go after that kind of a message. So we wanted to learn more about what are some of the specific positive approaches that might be working well. These are some examples we found online of what are PSAs that are being used that are really pretty scary. And, you know, these kind of what we might call as fear induction messages have been pretty common. One, this was an old one about 15 years ago, a drug abuse PSA, prevention PSA that said, you know, this is your brain on drugs, and it, you know, had this eggs frying in a frying pan. And it actually was found that was not very effective, that a lot of teens were really kind of saw that as talking down to them and trying to kind of raise fear, and it was not very helpful. So a group of us, and Maria Petrova took a lead in some of this, last year, 2 years ago, over a year, did some work in several of our schools that had been implementing Sources of Strength, and Elmira Free Academy and Laura School was one of them. We randomly assigned classrooms to receive from a peer leader team three different kinds of messages. One was essentially no message until later, so it was kind of a control waiting group. And then the second group was peer leaders went in and they shared their personal stories of Sources of Strength messaging, that lots of what you've heard about already. And in the third group, the peer leaders shared personal messages, but they also invited students in the classroom to get up and really add their own personalization. So in this case, they were invited to add a name of a trusted adult to a poster in the classroom and really kind of name who that adult was to their peers. And then afterward, we did some surveys with all three of those groups to learn more about what were the differences in perceptions of adults being supportive in the school, help-seeking acceptability in different groups. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about kind of the rationale for this, this something called the elaboration likelihood model, that's kind of a communications theory that really talks about the importance of engaging your audience into deeper thinking about the messaging and the ideas that you're trying to engage them with in order to really have more lasting and significant change. So we thought that personalization might make a difference. The next slide shows the average levels of help-seeking acceptability in the three different conditions after exposure and for two different groups. The blue line shows students that did not have suicidal ideation, and the green line shows those who did have suicidal thoughts over the last year. And essentially what this is showing is that the group that had no messaging, so they were not yet receiving a positive message, they had the lowest acceptability. And so the groups that were increased were really both those positive messaging activities. And the biggest increase was really occurring for students that were already at risk of suicide. That was really the group that needed to really be getting that positive message in those three conditions. This next slide shows another outcome, which was naming trusted adults. Were they, would they be able to name a trusted adult that they could go to in their school? And this graph shows that personalization part increased even more the ability of students to name a trusted adult, if not only did they get peer leader messaging personalization, but they also participated, that they had more than both the peer leader modeling group and the no message condition. So our work in this so far really is very supportive of the Source of Strength approach, that peer leaders telling stories and personalizing is a critical, other students listen, and it is making a difference. And in addition, peer leader teams that also engage students actively and get students involved actively is likely to make a big difference in the kinds of lasting or effects that might come from these different kinds of peer leader projects and activities. So we're excited to learn some more about this and learn more about how can we, maybe there are differences in the kinds of projects and activities that guys and girls should, might be more responsive to. So that's another area that we've begun to explore. So thanks.
Thanks very much, Peter. That was great. We're going to move into the more general Q&A at this point. And I know there were two slides with references, so anyone who's interested in looking at those a little bit further will be able to through the slides that have been posted on our website. And I'm going to start off with one question that was specific for you, Peter. If anyone else has any questions that they'd like to direct to Peter at this point, I would be happy to ask those first. And otherwise, I'm going to go back into the pool of questions and comments and pull some out for the entire group.
So there was a question that came in about whether there were any data that indicated an increase in academic outcomes in the schools.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one that has also interested us as well. In the current ongoing study we have with about 36 high schools in New York and North Dakota, that is an interest to collect information about attendance, in particular students' perceptions about how engaged they are. And, you know, I think it is a very plausible kind of change that might occur. Students are really strengthening their connection, particularly to adults at school, that could over time lead to more engagement and ultimately to you know, more positive kinds of school performance. I suspect that might be a change that's going to take a number of years, and whether that might be a few years down the road, and that before we're going to be able to find that. But that is something that we're very interested in as well.
Great, thank you. There was someone else who asked whether you could give an example of positive messaging.
I certainly could share one, and I'm sure that Mark and Diane and Laura could as well. One very common one that we've seen is peer leaders, three or four peer leaders going into a classroom, and each of them sharing an example or two of how a specific source of strength has helped them to get through a tough time in the last year or so. A recent example, I was out at a school, an urban school nearby that we're working with, and a student peer leader got up and was sharing an example where she talked about how an aunt of hers had died a couple of years ago, and how having supportive, a counselor, another adult at school, and some positive friends had really helped her to get through that. And it was really amazing to see how interested other students were in listening to that, because it was very personal. You know, it wasn't just a kind of an idea of, well, here's something you can try out, but this is really personal to me, and this really made a difference in my life. So that's just, I think, one kind of example of the type of messaging.
This is Mark. There's quite a few different types as well that go on, and we do kind of encourage groups to kind of make messages that are going to resonate in their school or their culture that they're working with. But we do, especially in school-based, we have quite a few that like to take kind of a strength of the month approach. And so throughout that month, they may be taking one of those strengths and doing things like creating posters that have peers' faces on them that are around the school, on, whether it's generosity or mentors or, medical access or mental health. Each of those, they would kind of create different posters around that. They may have students going and doing PA announcements. So they may be, let's say they're doing generosity, and so they have three or four peer leaders in doing an announcement very quickly saying, hey, this month we're going to be talking about generosity as a strength. Here's something that I've done. I've reached out. I've been on this mission trip. Oh, I go help coach younger kids. I go visit and do this or that. And here's how it's, here's how we've reached out, but also here's how it's impacted me. And so they'll just kind of tell a story about how that's brought strength to them, but to also give a very, very concrete example. And so they may mix a variety of those. They may be doing some games or do activities that kind of support that strength of the month. So just depending on the group or the school or the community, they would kind of pick. And what we find is that, the farther along they get, so if they're in the second or third year, they're usually doing more and more activities, but also becoming more and more creative about what kinds of things they do. We had one group do a lip dub that had 1,000 students in it. And, from the school, it was a school with about 1,800 students. They managed to pull 1,000 students in on a Saturday to shoot a lip dub. on that. So there's just a lot of different ways that they'll go about that.
Great. Thanks, Mark. So there were a couple of questions that came in concerning Native American students and schools that are largely comprised of Native American students. And one of them had to do with whether or not there were any schools involved in the evaluation that had higher numbers of Native American students. And then, let me just scroll up a little bit. The other question really was just whether or not Native Americans and Native American communities have engaged with the Sources of Strength program.
Yeah, Peter, you can jump in and add to that, but we do have several schools in the NIMH study that are predominantly Native American students, and I know we have several that are probably, 80 to 90% Native students in there. And, we're very engaged in tribal and Native communities. Jared Baker's our national tribal director. We have several trainers that are Native, and we're working with Alaska Villages and some groups up in Canada as well as kind of throughout the United States. And I think the wellness wheel certainly ties in with a lot of the holistic model, medicine wheels, things along that line. And so we've found that just really good partnership. And there's some adaptations we make, and we come into sometimes really small communities where we'll, the kind of level of readiness for peer leaders. We've made a few adaptations and had really good, strong success with that in some of our tribal communities and First Nation groups that we've had. So, but our trainers, we have staff on that are tribal. Judy Red Tomahawk's one of our newest members. She's sitting right next to us here. So, we've had just some good contacts and connections. And, if you have some more questions on that, give us a call, and we'd be more than willing to talk to you about that.
Great. Thank you. Peter, I don't know if you had anything to add to that or if Mark really kind of covered everything related to the data piece.
Yeah, I think Mark pretty well covered it. We currently have several schools involved in the study and have seen very comparable kinds of positive impact in schools that have higher Native American students.
Okay, great. So there were a couple of questions along two themes that came in, or actually more than a couple. So the first was, and I suppose this would be directed mostly towards you, Mark, and it had to do with how to work with individuals, with students who are missing so many of the 8 strengths that you showed in the wheel. And, sort of following that, there was another question about how do you reach the really hard-to-reach kids?
Yeah, I think we've seen Sources of Strength kind of implemented in kind of some alternative settings as well, where, some populations are really some of those students. But, generally, what we try to really do is we focus on when we're introducing the wheel, we'll ask them, say, could you pick out right now where you're at today, what would be the top two strongest ones for you? So which would be the strongest that you think you have? So however they would interpret that. And then which one, if you're going to work on building one up, which one would you pick that you're most interested in strengthening? And so I think sometimes by phrasing the question there, whether they're really students with a lot of strength or students with very, kind of more limited, they're usually able to come up and identify a couple that they feel like they've got in a stronger way, and one that they feel like, yeah, I really would like to, if I was going to strengthen one over the next several months, this is the one that I'd like to strengthen. And I think the second part of that question goes after, how do you keep them engaged? And and that. And, you know, I think there's a variety of things, and that's kind of a webinar in and of itself. But I do think it's one of the big things is we find our advisors, our coordinators, need to kind of pursue those peers, those students, and really encourage them, you know, catch them in the hallway. Hey, thanks so much for being there. It's great to have you involved. You know, hey, we're going to meet coming up. And just there's a lot more of that personal kind of personal pursuit and encouragement that goes on. And even though they may, you know, so we really try to keep a pretty open when we're talking about things, you know, they may express an opinion that we may not necessarily feel is that healthy or that strong. We're always going to say, you know, thanks for sharing, and we really appreciate that, and, you know, just being honest about that. What we do find is those students that are struggling more, they tend over time to start catching up with the healthier peer leaders. And again, it's about that connectedness. They start identifying adults that they can trust. And we've got quite a few stories like that. But there's also kind of some small group things that you can do that really kind of help keep those students engaged. And we have some resources that we would give to advisors and coordinators and some ideas about kind of keeping some of those students connected as well. Laura, any thoughts on that? And Diane, I know you're working with a lot of different youth. Any thoughts that you'd all have?
This is Laura. I was just going to say that the activities that you do is the action steps throughout the year for those hard-to-reach people in the student body, and especially the ones who don't have very many of those strengths. The activities sort of open way to those and provide those strengths to develop for them, whether they find out that they can rely on a teacher that they didn't know was there for them before or that's interested in, you know, softball. Like, for instance, we'd have a student staff softball game, and a lot of students show up to that that might not have the greatest home life but can come after school to an activity. So not only are they getting involved with positive friends and healthy activities, but they're getting to know someone else besides maybe their family support isn't as strong as it could be, so they're finding a mentor or a person to talk to outside of that. So just creating a lot of these action steps along the way and the activities that the peer leaders do throughout the year really opens up opportunity for those kids in the building who don't have a lot of those strengths naturally.
Okay, I think we have time for one last question at this point. I know I just want to, again, acknowledge all the questions and comments that have come in, and I'm sorry that we have run out of time and aren't going to be able to get to many of them. You'll see at the end that there's contact information for our Training Institute staff. So if you are still interested in having your question or comment responded to, we would be more than happy to help get that answered. So the last question would really be, it's sort of a composite of a couple of different questions that came in that had to do with how to go about making the initial entry into a school or a school system that's more on the resistant side for mental health promotion and suicide prevention issues, and sort of what to do, how to really sort of manage that resistance and get buy-in from administrators and teachers and kind of other folks to really bring the program into the school and the school community itself.
Well, I think this is Mark again, and I think obviously one of the things that with a program like this, what makes it attractive to schools, at least the feedback we get, is that wellness approach, and that they feel that they can have impact on kind of a variety of prevention issues, but especially suicide prevention, without always having to say suicide and everything, that it can be a pretty strength-based and positive piece. I do think probably the one of the strongest motivation for principals, superintendents with Source of Strength is they see this really as increasing student-staff bonding And those are the things that we hear back and forth, that there's, and the fact that, you know, we are talking about culture change and trying to change things across the whole building or campus or system. But I think that connectedness between staff and students is a pretty big motivator, and certainly a lot of research showing that that should link in with academic change as well. And so it's very, very helpful to be able to, you know, some of the material that Peter just went through, I think that can be very, very helpful to kind of show that there is impact, but also to be able to talk to some of those kind of essential things that schools are involved with, and that it is about academic performance and being able to talk to them about, you know, when your students are going through those ups and downs in life and they can kind of start shutting down in school. These are strengths that you can be kind of talking about and promoting from within the school as well to help them make it through some of those. So
I think another, you know, and I completely agree with Mark on that. This is Peter. I think also a lot of administrators, teachers, and communities are also very interested in the idea of promoting leadership in students, particularly those who have not had opportunities for that. That's also linked to academic success, life success afterward. A lot of these communities are really, you know, how do we develop social capital, keep our, you know, talented young people here. And I think, you know, developing voices, being seen as, you know, and developing that kind of empowerment approach and the skills in public speaking and confidence to really be agent change in their school is really very appealing.
You know, we also had a superintendent recently had a press conference on Source of Strength, and he got up and said, you know, we went from 50% involvement in extracurricular to involvement to 90% involvement in extracurricular activities in just over a year. And he says, you know, I really, you know, he kind of pointed to Source of Strength, and certainly that's not kind of a direct goal of Source of Strength, but for him that was a huge thing. He felt like students that were engaged in extracurriculars were going to do better academically as well, and he just saw a huge jump in that number once, and that was one, you know, there was a lot of emphasis on healthy activities in their school and being involved. So, you know, there's different ways of approaching that as well. It's not always, you know, we believe that there's a pretty significant benefit on the suicide prevention side, but that isn't the core mission of the school. You know, they may be really interested on some other levels.
All right. Thank you both for answering. Unfortunately, at this point, we are out of time, and our goal for today was really to take an in-depth look at the Sources of Strength program and consider the unique and evidence-based approach it uses for promoting wellness and preventing suicide among youth. I'd like to generously thank our presenters once again for sharing their insights and expertise. I'd also like to thank each of you who participated in today's program. You'll be receiving an email in the next day or so requesting that you fill out a brief evaluation of the session. We hope you'll take a few short minutes to let us know how useful the webinar was for you. We really take the evaluation seriously and use them to improve our future programming. So this concludes our webinar. Thank you again for joining us, and have a great rest of your week.